Today's Walking Dead feedback show is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Now, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody, even if they're not speaking in garbage people language. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why True Car has introduced True Price. Now you know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories before you even get to the dealership. And True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. But how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want, and your certified dealer knows this. That's why they set their true price competitively, so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 10 is still over, but we're just getting started answering your feedback questions here on The Walking Dead Feedback Show. And now, here are the two guys who are enjoying a delicious applesauce snack today. I am Rob Sisson here with Josh Wigler. Josh, how are you?
Oh my God, applesauce has never tasted better. Very tasty. Tastes like trash.
That Reed voice?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore. Goodbye, garbage people. Smell you later. Sorry if I'm being insensitive to Jadis's tragedy, but her loss is our gain.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. We are riding the ship here on The Walking Dead, getting
the helicopter, yeah, as it were. Yeah.
So, we got a lot to talk about, of course. Jessica, Elise, and I broke down everything from episode 10 of season 8, The Lost and the Plunderers. Real reach of a name, I thought.
Big reach. The Reach. Yeah. The Lost and the Plunderers. Come on. This is classic Walking Dead.
Who
title,
were the
though,
Lost?
Right? I don't know.
Who were the Plunderers?
Well, we lost the garbage people, and the garbage people were plunderers in their own right. We could never really agree upon an official name for the garbage people. They were often called the scavengers. I think that is the official label. The heapsters.
Yeah,
plunderers
I think that
now.
Was like on set. They called them the heapsters. But who was plundering in this episode?
No one really. There wasn't much plundering. Like when you think about plundering, you think more of like a Captain Jack Sparrow type, I think. And this is a piracy free Walking Dead, except for whoever downloaded the episode and watched it that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk through. Of course, we're answering your feedback questions that come into us every week, twd@postshowrecaps.com, and some voicemails that come into postshowrecaps.com/voicemail. Josh, so I watched The Talking Dead.
Do you know that my so there's really only two good things in my life right now, and one of them is the wand off and the other is the weekly update I get from you about The Talking Dead. So you're about to be the second highlight of my two highlights of the week.
Yeah. Okay. So I would say that the highlight of The Talking Dead this week was Robert Kirkman was on there. And he's always fun. And then also Ross Marquand, who plays Aaron, was there. And also special guest, they said, and stay tuned for The Talking Dead with a special surprise guest. And then it was Caitlin Nacon, who plays Enid. And Chris Hardwick, you know, very proud of himself at the start of the show. See, we tricked you. It wasn't somebody who died. It was Enid. And then it was like, click. No. That is
everything wrong with The Walking Dead summarized in one Talking Dead gag.
Stay tuned for a surprise. Guess what? It was a bad surprise that we didn't want to tell you what it was in the first place.
Yeah, just like this incredible, like, patting yourself on the back for, like,
we fooled
playing
you.
Unfair with the audience. Like, come on. Like, that's such bullshit. Really? That happened? I don't know why I'm surprised, but that's frustrating to hear.
Yeah. And so Robert Kirkman was interesting. I think that Ross Marquand, I know he does like a lot of like impressions. Like, I think he's like a funny guy, but I kind of felt like it was super boring. Anything that they were talking about with Enid and Aaron, it was like the least interesting part of the episode. I don't know why they were.
They wouldn't have, you know, Pollyanna McIntosh, who plays Jadis, or Stephen Ogg, who plays Simon. Like, it's not even close that those two actors had the best material of the episode. And like, joking aside, at the top of the podcast, though, I am, you know, truly thrilled that the garbage people are gone. That scene was unbelievably good for in the context of The Walking Dead. I thought was just losing those characters and the performances from Stephen Ogg and Pollyanna McIntosh. How would you not have at least one of those people on the show? Did either of them beam in via satellite at least?
No, they did not talk to anybody from location. I mean, I do think that Stephen Ogg was on The Talking Dead not too long ago, but I don't think that Jadis was been on in season 8. I think that she was on during season 7 of the show. And from my memory, I don't think she was that great either.
You know, I interviewed her this past week for The Hollywood Reporter to talk about the episode and to talk about her work in the episode. She's like a very affable person. Like, sure. I think that she is like a really sweet person who has a lot of great insight into her character. And I think that like you would think that she's not going to be the most exciting person to have commentate on her character, given the fact that all we had seen from her until this episode was garbage speak. So like, I don't know. I mean, actually thinking that through, like just garbage speaking your way through a Talking Dead episode could be very compelling. Like that could be great television potentially. I don't know. I don't know how you don't have either one of those people. Like the fact that it was Aaron and Enid.
Yeah.
Like you almost forgot that they had a storyline this week.
Right. They would have been fine to like connect with them like via satellite. Sometimes that's good that you have two people who like work together and they have like some chemistry, and they had chemistry, but it was just really boring chemistry. They talked about how they do all their scenes in two takes. And I thought it was probably because the director was like, yeah, this isn't that important. Let's just keep moving.
Right.
We got this. Anyway, fine.
OK. All right. Fair enough. Anything interesting happen with Caitlin Nakin and Ross Marquand?
No, definitely not. No, interesting happen with them. You know, Robert Kirkman, there was some of things that he did not want to expand on any further. Like the helicopter. And I think that that was something that the listeners also wanted to hear us talk about. Also, just by the way, Stephen Ogg was last on The Talking Dead on November 19th. So not that long ago.
Yeah, but they could probably just have Stephen Ogg on The Talking Dead all
and
the
he was
time.
Great would be, on The Talking Dead also.
It'd be an incredible show because he's just so charismatic. He could probably just host The Talking Dead. They could call it Simon Says and everyone would be happy.
That'd be fine. Now, that being said, I wonder if Simon maybe is not that long for his world and he has an upcoming Talking Dead appearance.
I would expect that
and hopefully Pollyanna McIntosh does too.
I would be very sad to lose Stephen Ogg as Simon from the show just because I think he is tremendous. I thought he was so good in this episode. I really did. Like I give this show a lot of grief these days, but I will play fair when I see something excellent.
No, he's
I thought
fantastic.
The scene between them was spectacular.
The scene with him and Negan was great also.
Yeah, everything with Simon this week was awesome, and I'm so intrigued with where they are taking that, but it does feel like they're taking it on a one-way ticket destination. Like, I cannot imagine that Simon escapes this season alive, and you gotta hope that that's gonna be an incredible scene as well, the inevitable death of that character, but that would make a lot of sense for why he wouldn't appear here, that maybe they're saving him for some sort of send-off further down the line. That'll be a bummer, but what are you gonna do? Did Kirkman hype up Oblivion Song, his new comic book he's got coming out?
Yes, he did. He talked about that.
Probably coming to post show recaps at some point in like 2019, 2020. I would bet. I read the first issue. It's kind of cool. Yeah. It's like it's alternate dimension stuff, and there's like monsters and like transporting through time and stuff. I don't know what it's really about, but it seems like it's gonna be interesting.
Okay, let's get to some of the feedback questions. Let's start with Nadu, who wants to say, "Hey guys, love the show. Two quick questions. Rob, did you miss the part where Simon mentioned the helipad in Garbage Land to Jadis? You and Jess didn't touch on it. Thoughts?" And then he has another question, but let's talk about the helicopter a little bit first and then come back around to the second part of the question. So I honestly forgot. I know we've talked about the helicopter quite a bit in terms of, is that in the shot? Was that sort of like highlighted in the background? And then I didn't remember if the show had ever acknowledged the helipad before, Josh.
Yeah, the helipad, I believe, was in the background, but there was a helicopter flying through the air in the first half of season 8. And we didn't really know if the two things were connected, if it was just some sort of call out to the early days of The Walking Dead, because this season seems to, especially in the early going, seems to have really had a lot of those, of just like reminders of what's come before. We speculated a little bit. I think we've joked about like Morgan hijacking the helicopter and using that to get to Texas and stuff like that. But I never really took the idea of the trash copter seriously. But it was mentioned in this episode. The helipad was identified. I'm trying to remember. Was it Simon who said it? Was it Rick who said it?
No, it was Simon.
Okay. So in either case, like, it's not in the background and it's not now in the foreground of the dialogue without a reason. You know, I think we're looking at some sort of helicopter scenario is going to be in play at some point in this back half of the season. It's just a question of like how exactly it's going to factor in. But now that that's out there on the show in the episode, you just have to imagine someone's going to get to the chopper.
Yeah. Well, just to tie this in, a lot of people had questions about this. Dominic wrote in to say, at the dump, Simon seemed to be the voice of the audience when he asked Jadis, why do you live at a garbage dump? What's up with the helipad back there? Jadis doesn't give very good answers to these. Later, we see Jadis uncovering hidden food under some garbage, which also made no sense. Could this be signaling there's more things hidden under the garbage? Could there be a military base in plain sight and they covered it with the garbage? Why else would there be a helipad there? They never show where the garbage people sleep. So maybe some kind of structure, and this will be the info to get Jadis a ticket back with Rick or Negan. What do you think? But the helipad, the way it was addressed on the show, it did seem very un-Simon and very unsavior like where you can't imagine Simon showing up at the hilltop and there being a helipad there and Gregory not saying like, hey, take me back and show me what's going on with the helipad. Where's the helicopter that goes there? It just seems like that he is did not want to ever bring it up before.
Yeah, I think also Simon went to the garbage people loaded and ready to go. Like, I feel like he wanted what happened to happen. I think that he's feeling very trigger happy. He seems like he's really taking a turn away from Negan. And I feel like, I don't know if it was like a momentary like bout of anger where he just ends up like ripping all of them to pieces, or if it's something that he was planning before. But to me, it feels more like he's been meditating on some sort of insurrection for a while. The other thing, too, is I think the show probably just needs to get us all on the same page that there's a helicopter in play, and they just needed to put that into Simon's dialogue. So if it's a little out of character, maybe that's why.
Yeah. Okay. Then this is the second half of Nadu's question. This is more towards the last week's episode. Do you think that we're going to get Morgan and Henry buddy cop episode in which they both cross over into Fear the Walking Dead? So are we on the same page that the helicopter will be involved in getting Morgan to Fear the Walking Dead?
I don't think necessarily. In fact, I don't think so. Like, I think like it, you know, Fear the Walking Dead is such a enigma right now in terms of what it's going to be and when it's going to be, and specifically where it's going to be. Like, it's shooting in Austin, Texas, but it really could take place just about anywhere. Really, all I'm thinking is that Morgan has to leave the group to head towards some new adventure, and he can kind of just roll up into Fear of the Walking Dead. It could be on frickin' horseback. In fact, that could be kind of a cool call out to the original Walking Dead with Rick riding on horseback. I don't think that like he needs to get on a helicopter to take him to Texas. I think that whatever is going to happen with the helicopter will be more likely to me to have like a direct impact on the end of this conflict between Rick and Negan.
Do you think there's a chance Henry could also go over to Fear the Walking Dead?
I thought you were going to say, could Henry pilot the helicopter? And Boy, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
That would be like the end of Fear when like the little brother is the kid who saves the day. Like it's just like Henry gets into the helicopter and saves everybody. That would be remarkably great.
Hang on, Morgan.
Yeah. I got you, Morgan. Yeah, I don't think so. I just have a feeling that that's probably not going to happen. And is he going to cross over to Fear the Walking Dead? I don't think so. I think Henry will probably just step into the background at some point.
That kid looks like he'd be pretty good with a javelin.
Madison, is that you?
Yeah. Is that a trash copter or what?
Yeah, yeah. My theory was definitely right. It's definitely a garbage copter.
Nick, get over here. You want to see a garbage copter?
Yeah. Nick loves junk, so, you know, that all works out.
Yeah. All right. This is from Jeff Davis. Jeff writes in a question. He says, I told you there was a helicopter pad in the dump with a big H in the middle of it. And Mike Bloom tried to say it was a tennis court. All hail the garbage copter. Okay, so Jeff, you are right. And Mike Bloom, in your face, you are wrong. You stupid idiot, Mike Bloom.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that one time when Mike Bloom must have been on a Walking Dead feedback show.
Yeah.
No, that's it.
Mike Bloom. That,
his Walking Dead takes are garbage. No,
Mike Bloom doesn't know anything about The Walking Dead.
Literally nothing. Mike
Bloom, let the record show, is one of the worst Walking Dead reporters out there.
Yeah, I think probably like bottom five, I would say.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, like he's so bad at covering The Walking Dead, it's almost like he doesn't cover it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Mike Bloom should quit covering The Walking Dead. How about that?
You'd have to start before you could quit. But maybe he should start and then he should quit.
Yeah. So get out of here. Go back to man-whoring, Mike Bloom.
How many podcasts do I have to be on with you before people realize I'm not Mike Bloom, by the way?
Why do people think I could see Mike Bloom getting confused for you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a minute. It's not like an isolated incident. Okay. Anyway, Jeff Davis, I've got my eye on you is all I'm trying to say. And a tennis court still would have been really cool.
Chris O, in fairness, I do think that a helipad could double for a tennis court.
Yeah, I think that it's true. I mean, really, all you got. Yeah, you could definitely. I mean, if it's a tennis court, you can play
I know
doubles.
Colin Latchford would.
You know, I think that you could just put up a net. Seems like they got to have a net somewhere in the trash pile.
I do suppose that we could rig some sort of a tennis net out of this cargo line that I found over at the waste dump.
Yeah, I would love to see. I really hope that Eugene gets his hands on the heaps. Like, I feel like he could come up with some really incredible stuff over there.
Yeah. OK, Chris O said, did someone say trash copter? It was either you or Josh, maybe Mike Bloom, that said this phrase last season. And it may be true with all the mention of the helipad this episode. I thought it was funny. Also, it's funny how Oceanside keeps telling them, don't come back. Obviously, our protagonists are not getting the message because they keep coming back, LOL, with Aaron staying back for some reason. I hope he's not going to sacrifice himself to show that the outside threat is still very real. Maybe Oceanside will use Aaron or Zombie Aaron to prove a point. Take care, guys. Love the show. Okay, so Josh, what is the fascination with Oceanside? Didn't they take the guns from Oceanside? What does Oceanside have that anybody needs?
People are resources. So, you know, they've got able-bodied individuals who could contribute to the, I don't know.
Has that been expressed? Hold on. In all seriousness, has that been expressed in any way, shape, or form that they have the Oceanside guns? Is are we seeing like Rick with like the lieutenants? Like, we just don't have enough people. We got the guns. We got the firepower. If we had some of those Oceanside ladies down here, I think that could be the difference.
No, but I think that like that idea is being expressed on the show through like that Negan and Simon conversation where Negan is talking about how people are resources and like, you know, that's why you don't go and you kill the garbage people. You go and you kill a garbage person.
Right. But in Negan's world, it's like that we get the people working for us. Like, you know, that makes sense. They're like producing that we need more soldiers.
I think we need more people to build a better future, Rob. I think we need more people who are going to be on hand to, yes, fight today's war, but farm tomorrow's crops as a unit.
So can we win the war first?
Well, winning the war, if you've got more people on your side, that can only be a good thing, especially with the way things have gone. Although Aaron has no idea just how bad it's gotten back in Alexandria. So I don't know. I don't understand what he thinks is going to happen by hanging back. I would guess that, like, the next time we see him, it will, hopefully they will have, like, yada yada through any sort of, like, Dances with Wolves type of thing that they're going to do with Aaron here with the Oceansiders. But, you know, he'll probably come back and he'll have, like, Oceanside on his side, and they'll come in like a big moment of, like, I don't know, like the Knights of the Veil bursting
Oceanside
through type of deal.
Is on your side.
Right. Yes. That's going to be the song that they're singing as they march up. Everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, I remember that commercial. That's actually, that's a really clever jingle that you guys came up with.
They just rhyme the word side with side.
It's like, yeah, they did. But like, we haven't heard music in a long time. So maybe let's just like, let it go. It's the apocalypse.
Yeah, you know, I don't get it. And if numbers are so important, then why did Enid and Aaron just abandon the cause in the middle of the war? That's why we can't win this war. We have too many people just going off on missions, including Rick.
Yeah, side quests. Side quests will be the death of us.
I'll be back in a couple days, everybody. You keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah, I just have this side quest I have to do. Yeah. Listen, it's not like an MMORPG. Like, this is a linear game, and you gotta just get on the rails and get to the end boss and kill the end boss, and then you have like an open world to explore after you've beaten the game and you have new game plus. Like, enough with all of these side missions. It's just not the way
to
do it.
But Josh, in this all-out war, nobody is following directions. Nobody stays where they're supposed to stay. There's not one character that had a mission that they were supposed to carry out and stayed and did the mission they were supposed to do. Michonne is like, I just got to go check something out. Come on. They all just like, they get one job and they say, this job is getting boring. I need to go do something else today.
How else are we going to get to 16 episodes, Rob? You know, they've got a hard job to do here, these writers. They have to produce 16 episodes of The Walking Dead per season. They're well past 100 episodes now. This is a tough gig. They got to stretch that stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
Certainly it would make more sense to not go off on all of these missions, but if the game plan is 16 episodes a year for 16 more years, I think you're going to be seeing a lot of these sojourns. I think these extra missions are going to remain a factor here on The Walking Dead moving forward. Did Ross Marquand give any kind of insight into what he thinks Aaron is trying to accomplish here, like any sort of like strategy that he's got in play? Any insight whatsoever?
No hints on that. No great. Hints. No.
Great. 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 No Love leads. Ross Marquand. Think he's a great actor. Think he's another affable guy, but like,
he's funny. He does impressions.
If you're going to have him on The Talking Dead for this episode, and he's not even going to forget it. I can't.
Okay.
Can't.
All right. That being said, I bet he's not going to die next week.
No. Yeah. I think he'll be fine for the season. I think Aaron is. Listen, we're bleeding out characters so badly right now that like there's going to be some semblance of familiarity moving forward through this series. I think Aaron's here to stay for a good little while.
I got a voicemail for you, Josh. This is from Colin.
Rob, Josh, this Colin. What Jadis paint with garbage people puree? More cat?
First off, Josh, what did you think of the reveal that Jadis was an artist that would go to the garbage dump for her art installations?
First of all, I got to say, I think that voicemail from Colin is my favorite voicemail I've ever received on any podcast. Mm-hmm. Just like the delivery, the booming voice in garbage people speak was just absolutely exceptional. So kudos to you, Colin. What did I think of that reveal? Sure. You know, sure. Yeah, that's fine. You know, it makes some sort of sense, I guess. Like there's the weird cat sculptures and Jadis is negotiating hard to like not give up the cat sculpture because she probably had a gallery at some point in time.
Okay, let me ask you this question then. So what was it that the followers of Jadis saw that said, okay, sure, we will follow you and live in a garbage dump for you and adopt your backwards bizarro language because of what? They saw her. They were so impressed with her cat paintings.
So it seems to me that they are all part of like the same artist community, or at least like the vast majority of them were. So I think that in speaking with Pollyanna McIntosh, she suggested embrace yourself if you're going to find this triggering, that there will be more to reveal on that front coming up this season in terms of exactly. Just when you thought you were out, they pull you right back into the trash compactor.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. So that's going to probably happen in some capacity. Like, I mean, we didn't think that we were done with Jadis,
no.
Right?
No. Jadis standalone episode, is that coming?
Oh, God. I think, you know, now that she's found her words, you know, I think that she'll probably like tell her story at some point in time in greater detail. But it sounds like these were all people that were part of her community. So like everyone, like they're all artists. They want to create their new world. The bigger question would be then if they're all artists and they wanted to create their new world, they chose to be garbage people. Like you can like still surround yourself in the heaps and have all of this useful stuff, but like couldn't you come up with like a cooler culture? Like couldn't you go like steampunk? Like you could like pretend like you're living in like Blade Runner or something like that. I don't know why you just like don't think further outside the heaps and you know, come up with something like a little more Game of Thronesy. Like even what the kingdom is doing, you could probably get away with that here.
Right. Yeah. You make a really good point that there's they did not really spend a lot of time worried about the set design. They really just like lived in a pigsty, which I can understand like an artist brain is more sort of like, you know, creative. But you would think there'd be some sort of a method to the madness, if not like some sort of like completely analytical place, but something that, you know, they would have fixed it up. It should not be such a dump.
Yeah, I mean, like a little bit of like maintenance would be a great thing. But I think that it's more like the characters.
Like their costume wasn't interesting. There was nothing other than Jadis working on a sculpture or two or a painting. There was nothing artistic about anything they were doing.
I think it's just like the story that they designed for themselves, I think, could have used some work. Like, I think that they could have gotten a little further outside the box. Like, just because you're surrounded by heaps of garbage doesn't mean you have to be the garbage people. Don't lower the bar, you know, to your ankles there. Like, you know, you can really, the world's your oyster now if you want to reinvent yourself. I just don't know why you would choose to be so stinky.
Yeah. Bethany Olsen answers a question that Jess and I raised. Why is Jadis eating applesauce? She says it was originally stolen from Alexandria when Father Gabriel was kidnapped from the supply room. That's why.
Interesting. Also, we know that applesauce is a key ingredient in Carol's cookies. So is this early foreshadowing of some sort of Carol Jadis team up? Could Carol get Jadis to clean her act up? Like, could she do like a full badass makeover on Jadis, the garbage person?
Sure. Let's go with that. I'd watch it.
I genuinely would. I think that if they're going to rehabilitate the character at all, I think like putting her and Carol in the same stuff, I'm going to walk that back immediately. I don't think, you know, we've had a really hard time with Carol recently. And like, I think we need to work on like Carol, and Carol just needs to take some Carol time. I don't think that sticking her with Jadis, while probably beneficial for Jadis, would necessarily be beneficial for Carol. So completely walking that back.
All right. Well, let me segue from talking about Carol and her cookies, talking about our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are the fine people who make the RX bar. And Jadis, if she had an RX bar, she would certainly rather snack on that, because the RX bar is a whole food protein bar. What does that mean? The bars are made with 100% whole ingredients. They want to be transparent and upfront with the customers. That's why they label the core ingredients egg whites, dates, and nuts on the front of the package, and the ingredients that make up the texture and taste on the back. RX Bar's core ingredients do all the talking. It's simply like eating 3 egg whites, 2 dates, 6 almonds. No BS. What would Simon say to that?
He would say, give me all of your RX bars.
No.
He
would say, no BS!
That's good. I like that.
Turns out
it's better than what I said.
Real food ingredients actually taste really good. You could taste all of the ingredients, the fruit, the spices, like sea salt. They love that at Oceanside. And whether you like sweet or savory, chocolate or fruit flavors, there is an RX bar for you. RX bars come in 11 delicious flavor varieties. They're gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, no added sugar, no artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or fillers. Egg whites are for protein. The dates bind it all together, and the nuts are for texture. RX bars are great for any occasion, breakfast on the go, snack on the office. Josh, take them to Ghost Island with you.
Oh, I would like to do that. Would you share your RX bar with Sadiq?
No, I would not. I would not. I would keep it all for myself.
Yeah. Me too. Really, no offense to anybody, but it's just all for me.
All right. So go ahead and get 25% off your first order when you go to rxbar.com/post and enter the promo code POST. That's 25% off your first order of RX Bar at rxbar.com/post with the promo code POST. Okay, Josh, let's get back to some of these questions. And we have the great Steve Davis called in and left us a message.
It's been way too long since I've heard Steve Davis's voice. Come back to us more often, Steve Davis.
Okay, and Steve Davis wants to talk to us about Simon.
Hey, Rob and Josh, Steve Davis calling in. Bit vexed over here as to what Simon is going to get away with.
Can you pause down for a second? A bit vexed here.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, Colin, but I have a new favorite voicemail. That happened fast. Love comes at you fast. Okay. Great stuff. Can we start that over?
Let's sure just, thing. Sure thing. Yeah. Steve is vexed. Okay.
Hey, Rob and Josh, Steve Davis calling in. Bit vexed over here as to what Simon thinks he's going to get away with. Literally rolling up to the garbage dump with like 20 or so of Negan's guys doing the exact opposite of what Negan said and thinking he's going to get away with it. This is the guy who literally seems to know everything that everybody is going to do or ends up doing, seems one step ahead of everybody, seems to end up getting away with everything. And one of his top lieutenants just blatantly lies to him. And I don't understand how he thinks one of his guys isn't going to tell Negan what's really going on. Love to hear your thoughts. Later.
Simon, could I see you in my office here for a second, because there's something that I'm just a little bit vexed about.
Bit vexed. Oh my God. Feeling a bit vexed right now. Yeah. Hashtag bit vexed, by the way, is where we're going with this podcast. I do believe. Feeling a bit vexed about the entirety of the garbage people storyline. What else are you feeling a bit vexed about, Rob? Just in general,
my financial portfolio is all in bit vex.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get back to Simon, that I have noticed that subdued Negan has been really a thing here so far in the back half of season 8. It's a lot of like soft spoken Negan. He's not really yelling that much.
I think he's really upset about Carl.
Yeah. You know? But he's even still, beforehand.
When
he's talking with Simon about what he needs to do. And there was a preview for next week on The Talking Dead about him talking to Eugene. There's a lot more of him sort of like whisper talking to people.
Yeah, I mean, he's already a slow talker. That's been part of Negan's MO from the jump. But now he's a slow and soft talker. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a combo that we need to last for too long.
Mm-hmm. But then he yells. So he really, like, you have to like lean in to hear what he's saying, and then he can scream at you and send you sailing. A lot of power in that.
Lots of power in that. What do you think about Steve's question about Simon and where Simon's at right now? Are you a bit vexed about what's going on with Simon, or do you feel pretty good about it?
Well, I think that there is a question of leadership going on right now, and I'm not sure how premeditated all of this is from Simon. That, do you think, is Simon planning a coup? And could that coup, where if the Saviors kick Negan out, could that be what leads Negan to Rick?
Wow. Oh, my God. That would be amazing if this season ends with Simon taking over the Saviors and it's like a success. I would be all about that. That would be really, really fun. I said before that, like, you get the feeling that it's not impossible that Simon came to the Heaps and, like, knew what he was going to do to the garbage people. Just kind of examining it a little bit further, I don't know if that's like ironclad for me, or if it was like a bout of rage that occurred once he felt like he wasn't getting any respect, you know, from Jadis and everything. But the really instructive thing is when Negan asks him how it went and Simon's like, oh, it was great. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was good, went exactly like you wanted it to, like, all good. In order for him to, like, preserve that lie, he has to have people on board with him, unless he thinks that, like, he is just, like, you know, living in this alternate universe where he's not going to get caught. But you would get the sense that the people that he had killed, the garbage people, are either going to be completely on board with Simon's lie, or one of them is about to blab. But in either scenario, Negan's not going to not know about the garbage people forever. You know, like, that's going to come onto his radar sometime in the next few episodes. So if Simon is planning some sort of insurrection, if he's planning on some sort of takeover, a mutiny, that would be very plundery. Then it's got to happen soon. And I think that Simon specifically as a character, you know, there's a lot to hate about the guy in terms of who he is, and so much to love about the performance and, like, what he represents. And we've seen a lot of people who have just, like, kind of, like, sheepishly done Negan's bidding because Negan is so imposing and you kind of just fall in line. But you've never gotten that sense from Simon. And before it really just seemed like Simon is just doing the things that Negan wants to do because they are also the things that Simon wants to do. But this season has shown us a little bit more of Negan's soft side, or at least has shown that he has like an ethos behind what he's doing. Like, clearly, like, what he's doing is messed up, but he feels that in doing what he's doing, it's the only way to keep people safe. Like, he genuinely believes in the Savior's cause. And I think that the picture that we're getting of Simon now is, it's almost like he likes doing this stuff. And if we're not really going hard, if we're really not putting the pedal to the metal under Negan's leadership, then maybe he's going to have to be the guy who steps up. I'm really excited for where it's going. Unfortunately, I got to imagine it is leading to the death of Simon at some point in the next few episodes. I feel like I don't think you and I did a back half of the season death draft.
No, Simon would be probably the number one pick.
Yeah, right now I think so too.
Yeah, I would hate to see him go. I feel like that it's such a great performance, and you know, I'm sure that Stephen Ogg is in demand as an actor.
That's the silver lining, though, right? Because, like, what we would lose from this character and this performance, like, you think about what the future could hold for Stephen Ogg. He has a role on Westworld. It's like a bit part on Westworld, but maybe they could expand on that, or I don't know. Somebody get Stephen Ogg and Walton Goggins on a show together where they're bad guy brothers. Like, I would watch the hell out of that. Like, that seems like the best show that's ever been invented.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be a lot of fun to see what he goes on to next. But I really love that idea of, like, if he ends up leading the Saviors and forces Negan out. I just think it's interesting to have a compelling lieutenant to Negan who is butting heads with him. And I described it this way with Jess the other day. I felt like this is like the Sopranos to me, where you have people who are in this de facto mafia and they don't see eye to eye. They have different ideas on how to do things. And I don't think that we're necessarily, are we supposed to be on Negan's side versus Simon?
How deep into Soprano spoiler territory are we allowed to go?
I think that
right
we
now?
Are over 10 years past the end of Soprano. So I think that we are very okay to talk about Soprano spoilers.
So, like, just in case you're like watching The Sopranos for the first time right now, or you plan on doing it, you absolutely should, because it's one of the best shows ever created. Just a brief tangent on some spoilerific Soprano stuff happening now. So get yourself out of this podcast for the next minute or two or three or so. To me, what this feels like, and it's probably an imperfect example, but like the Simon and Negan relationship to me seems to be building towards like some sort of like Ralphie Cifaretto, Tony Soprano final confrontation, where like you could see him, like whether it's like some really calculated type of move, which I don't think was really the Ralphie thing so much as like it's like a moment of pure rage and anger that leads them to a violent confrontation that leaves one of them dead. Like that feels to me like where this is going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see it. So we will see ultimately how it plays out. I got one other question for you this week, Josh, and this is from Melissa, who writes in to say, do you think the section headers in the last episode coincided with the letters that Carl wrote?
You know, I gotta be honest, like I didn't understand why we were in like the section headers other than like, you know, they just wanted to like structure the episode differently than normal. It didn't really do anything to me. Like the Michonne chapter didn't even feel fully Michonne focused.
Right.
Like there was a lot of Rick going on there. So I don't know. I didn't really buy into it. Whether or not like what would that mean that like the content of the sections that we were seeing will relate to sort of like the content of the letters that each of them are going to receive, like thematically. I don't really know exactly how that would play. Certainly, I can't imagine that Simon and Jadis got letters from Carl. Just to toss that out there. He was crunched for time. I feel like Aaron is getting a letter before those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't seem likely to me.
Yeah, Jadis and Simon, those are the two that would probably be. Because the other ones, it's like, okay, well, maybe it's like the you know, and somehow Carl's vision for the world lives on through the people he wrote the letters to. So maybe you could find something there. But yeah, Simon and Jadis.
Carl's letter to Negan seems great in light of the conversation we had last week. Negan, it's Carl. Like it's just off to a great start. I can't wait to hear what the full thing is.
Yeah, please don't fight my dad anymore. He's a nice guy.
Stop, please. Please stop.
Yeah, that might be when Simon finally pulls off the insurrection against Negan, when Negan pulls out a letter at like the Savior's meeting where it's like, I got a letter today from one of the kids of the people that we've been fighting with. Says,
yeah,
dear Negan. It's like, what?
Yeah,
you've gone soft, Negan.
Yeah, I think Simon would be upset that Negan got fan mail. And he did not. I think that would really chap his butt. I don't think he'd be happy about that.
Okay, so
that was an episode of The Walking Dead. The trash compactor scene, which we didn't really talk about, was tremendous, and I do think one of the best scenes of the season for sure, and one of the better scenes in recent Walking Dead memory. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of stuff going on in The Walking Dead. We'll be back to cover it all again next week. Jessica, Lisa, and I will be back with the recap, and then we will have our feedback show coming up next week. You can subscribe to our Walking Dead podcast at postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. And of course, check out Josh and I on our rewatch of Game of Thrones over on Post Show Recaps as well. Follow at Round Howard on Twitter. Josh, anything else?
No, nothing else. Nothing that I can think of.
All right. Well, looking forward to being back with you guys next week. Hashtag bit vexed.
Yeah, I was a bit vexed as far as thinking of what else I could plug right now. So that's it. That's all we got.
All right, everybody, have a good one. Take care. Bye.